We desire your prayers this morning. The Lord has given us a thought here that it may take you drawing your mind in this morning for the beginning of the message. I have a number of scriptures I want to read. I hope you'll try to concentrate on the beginning to lay a foundation. So if you want to, you may read along with us. I will be paraphrasing some for the sake of time. Revelation 7. The beginning thought here is a vision of the redeemed. Seventh chapter of Revelations, we want to look at verses 9 through 14 and verse 17. Starting at verse 9, it says, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude that no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God. Verse 11, and all the angels stood around the throne and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And I think then verse 14. And I said unto him, Sir, no, the question was given in verse 13. What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And verse 17 says, For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them into unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Chapter 12 now, Revelations, verses 10 and 12. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Chapter 14, verse 1, 3 through 5. I don't want us to get hung up on any number this morning. I want our focus to be on a picture of the redeemed of the Lord. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him a large number of people. You understand why I'm saying it that way? The world likes to get hung up on this number, so we're not going to be hung up on a number. We've already read about a number that no man could number, so we can't diminish that number now. So I'm just going to say, a large number of people stood before the throne, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Verse 3, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and no man could learn that song but this redeemed of the Lord, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. A vision of the redeemed. Chapter 20. Verses 6 through 9 and 12 and 15. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Verse 7. And when the 1,000 years was expired, this is not a number that we need to keep in our mind. This is symbolic. When a long period of time passed, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog are the enemies of God. Together to battle, the number of whom is of the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Those are the four places I wanted to begin with this morning. I am trusting that you were able to have a vision of the redeemed from those passages. I believe that we are in that time that we have just read about. We've been burdened and inspired as well concerning faith. The message that we had last Sunday and the Bible study last Sunday night, we want this to be a year of faith. A year that our faith will respond to those things that God is bringing into our lives and allowing us to taste, if you will. And we started out with the definition of faith from Hebrews 11 and the first verse there. What was faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the comment that I made concerning that passage, that scripture, was that it seemed to be an obscure scripture. All my life, I've read it and I've tried to put it together. I've tried to make sense out of it. And the further that I studied and the longer that I've lived and the faith that God has inspired in me from time to time. And the scripture does speak about us going from faith to faith and also from strength to strength. And so all of these things that he allows in our life is for the purpose of building our faith and enlightening us to understand faith in a greater measure. And the scripture in that same passage says, without faith, it is impossible for you or me to please God. For we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But this week, this word mystery has been going over and over in my mind. And thinking of the scripture that says, great is the mystery of godliness. And I thought, well, we could say the same about faith. We could say, great is the mystery of faith. How does it work? How do we get it? How are we able to have faith in God? And how does it grow? And how does it start? And all of these kind of things, it seemed like, it just all seems like a mystery. And that the Lord is wanting to unfold to us the mystery of faith this morning. And I looked up this word mystery, And this is what it said. I thought it applied here. And it said, the truth that can be known only through divine revelation. That's a dictionary definition. Did you ever read about mystery? We think of mystery as somebody that is a detective and he's trying to figure out a crime or something that is unknown. And so that took my mind over to the word detective. You and I need to be a detective this morning of faith. You know what this word detective says? One who perceives something that is obscure. So what are we going to do? We're just going to sit back and hope it falls on us? Or are we going to seek after it? I believe the Lord is calling for His people to begin to seek after more faith. To understand it more. To be enlightened more. Because you and I are going to have faith all the way around. Clear across the board. It's not just divine healing. It's not just for salvation. It's not just for sanctification. It is for every part of our life. That when I come before the Lord, I can believe that He is God. And that He is a rewarder because I am diligently seeking Him. Thank the Lord. So let's be detectives this morning of this great mystery of faith. I want that thought to stay there for a little bit because my inspiration is still on faith. I started out for us to understand and get a vision of the redeemed of the Lord. And you and I have to have faith to be the redeemed of the Lord in this age. I have a scripture also in Romans 10. It's found in verses 3 and 6 through 8. And it's also found in the Old Testament. So this one is repeated in the New Testament. I want this to inspire our faith this morning. Verse 3 says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, having not subjected themselves unto the righteousness of God." Do you believe we're in a time like that? Do you believe that you and I could also be ignorant of God's righteousness? We can if we reject it, if we close our eyes to what the word of the Lord says, if we're not a detective of faith, if we're not pursuing to understand God and have faith in God, then we will be ignorant of His righteousness. I don't want to be ignorant, do you? You don't want to be ignorant. You want to be enlightened. You want to have knowledge and understanding. And we can only have this knowledge and understanding by pursuing it. It's not going to come and pursue you. You've got to pursue it. So we have a picture here of where our world is. We see the people being ignorant of God's righteousness. We see them establishing their own righteousness. Saints, let's not establish our own righteousness because our righteousness is as filthy rags. Let us not trust in our own righteousness. Let us not trust in our own goodness. Let us trust in the righteousness of God and seek after it and understand it. Now let's go down to verse 6. Because this is the answer to the ignorance of righteousness. It says, but the righteousness which is of what? Faith. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Now you can detect something here. You can understand. You can perceive something that is obscure right here. It says, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend up to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. So this kind of faith is able to be for everyone. God is able to give you and inspire your faith. You don't have to say, well, who's going to bring Christ down to us? Or who shall ascend down in the deep, that is to bring up Christ from the dead? What is he talking about here? He's talking about the very sacrifice. And by faith, I am believing in the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And who is the one that's going to do that for me? And then it says, and what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. So whoever is here this morning under the sound of the gospel, the Lord's word can be in your mouth and in your heart. Yes, he chose this way of preaching to save those that will believe. And he called it foolishness. But at the same time, you and I can attain the knowledge of faith and understand righteousness and not be ignorant of it. And it goes on and it says, it's nigh even in your mouth and in your heart. That is what? The word of faith which we preach. Thank the Lord. Let's get a hold of the word of God. Let's get a vision of the redeemed. Let's understand there's obscurity and mystery. And yet I can be a detective of this thing. And it can be unfolded to me. And it can be revealed to me. You don't have to have someone come and write it all out for you. There is a Holy Spirit this morning that wants to guide each one of us into all truth. Thank the Lord. Another scripture that the Lord inspired me with this week is Isaiah 35, 8 and 9. And I'm not going to turn and read it because I want to just simply talk about it by the help of the Lord. This passage talks about a highway. A highway that is very special. And it says it is the way. And it says that it is a way of holiness. And it says that there is no unclean thing that will pass upon this particular highway. It is only for the redeemed of the Lord. This is a highway that you and I that are redeemed are walking in and on right now. Do we see a literal highway? Does it have a number? Is it Highway 66 or Highway 33? No, it doesn't have a number. But if you're redeemed today, you can find this highway. And you can rest assured that there is no unclean thing on it. There is no wickedness on this highway. This is a highway of holiness reserved unto God's people. And you can find it. And you will know it. Because this scripture goes on and says, but it is for those travelers or wayfaring men. And it says, though they are fools. What does that mean? Though they be simple-minded, we could even say they might even be ignorant. Don't you know this morning that the Holy Spirit knows how to reveal light and truth even to the ignorant? Yes. We talked about the one that those that were willingly ignorant of God's righteousness. We don't have to be ignorant. Even if we might be ignorant, maybe we weren't taught everything from a child. We grew up some other way. And yet the very Spirit of God can enlighten and open up. And very simple-minded, maybe they're not even really educated. And yet this is a highway that all of the redeemed are walking on, and we can rest assured that not even anything is there that defiles God or the kingdom of God. And even if you and I might say, well, I don't understand everything, it's okay. It's okay if we don't. How many times in our whole life, doesn't matter how long we've lived, we'll read something. Have you ever gone before the Lord and said, Lord, what does that mean? I don't understand it. He wants us to say those things to Him because He wants to open it up. You don't have to have someone go and bring Christ down and go and bring Him up. It's nigh in your mouth and in your heart. And the Lord, the very Spirit of God, is going to open it up if you seek for it. Yes. You're going to have to be a detective of this great mystery. And it will be revealed unto you and me. And we do not have to be blind. We do not have to be deceived. We do not have to be ignorant. He is able to open this up to you and me in this day. Thank the Lord. Lord, encourage our faith. Now I'm going to change just a little bit. Because I have read one verse that stands out to me this morning in Revelation 20. And I'm going to read that again. And it says, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints. This word that I have on my thought this morning is this word compassed. What picture do you get in your mind when I read that passage? We often say that's where we are in the scope of time. The saints are compassed about with wickedness on every hand. You know what this word compassed means? Encircled or surrounded or enclosed. And the saints feel that way. The redeemed of the Lord feel that way. We feel the darkness. We feel our society has digressed to the point that we can hardly recognize it from 50 years ago or 20 years ago. We feel it as we go out among the world. We feel that we are compassed about. We're surrounded. We could feel a little pressure and discouragement by that passage if we wanted to. We don't want to. This is only to give us an understanding of where we are. It's not to discourage us. It's really to strengthen us. This particular passage is here to strengthen us, to help us to have that faith that He said, will I find faith when I return? Remember how we discussed that last Sunday night? He didn't say there would not be faith. He just simply gave the challenge that said, you need to watch because faith could be low. So you strive for faith. I have a counter for it. Let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter now. We have to understand where we are, but we also have encouraging things such as this. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with what? With what? Speak louder. A great cloud of witnesses. We're compassed about with wickedness and darkness, but have you looked at... We're compassed about with witnesses also? It's not all dark. It's not all discouraging. We don't have to feel a panic. We started out the thought last Sunday morning of hitherto, I believe it was. The Lord hath helped us, and we talked about looking back. We talked about looking forward. And so now this morning we started out. I hope you can make the connection. We presented a vision of the redeemed. It's a challenge to us. We're all going to stand before the throne of God and give an account for the deeds done in our body. But there is an untold number that is no man can number, that has already gone ahead and are already there, have already been judged, have been judged faithful. That's the vision I want us to have this morning of the redeemed of the Lord. Even though we are in a time of being compassed about, you and I can still be faithful. We have the scripture that says, where sin doth abound, what happens? I go down? No. He says, my grace doth much more abound. And there have been those that have gone before you and me that proved faithful, that lived the life, that walked in the holy way, on that highway where there was no unclean thing. We've got generations of people and people that have walked in the way all down through the ages of time and were faithful and had grace to do it and to live above sin. In this dark and evil time, thank the Lord, you and I are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Now, this little beginning of the 12th chapter is right on the heels of the 11th chapter, which is all about faith, and names out all of these individuals that lived when grace was not really, they had to live under the old law, and they still had faith. Thank the Lord. And we could preach hours and hours on chapter 11. But I want us to look at one. I want us to look at Moses. Let's just consider Moses this morning as one character, because he is one of those witnesses that you can live saved in this present evil world. It had to be his choice. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Is there a message in that? Is this a witness to you and me that will be there when I stand before the Lord? When I say, I'm sorry, but I could not bear it. I had to give in. And Moses will step up and he'll say, but I chose. It will be a witness against us. But it can be a witness for us. It can encourage us. We can look at this and say, if he did it, I can do it. There's sufficient grace for him. I can do it. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. I want to tell you there's a reproach in living for God in this evil world. And you and I feel it. If you're out there and you begin to feel inspired to give your testimony, have you ever felt something sort of try to muffle you down? It's because in the eyes of the world, living a holy life and walking on a holy way can't be done, and it's a reproach. But if you and I will esteem the reproach, don't let it take us down. Did Jesus suffer any reproach? Where did he suffer his reproach? The scripture said he did it outside of the gates. He was taken and put out there and counted as a criminal. And that was a great reproach. And he was the Son of God that had no guile in his mouth, nothing. But they counted him as a reproach. Now, this morning, God is wanting us to have faith that he can help us when we feel like we've been reproached. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had a respect unto the recompense of the reward. It's faith. We need faith this morning to believe that if I live right and holy and just and according to the word of God, there is a reward. There is a I need faith for that. This particular chapter, I just want to encourage you to study this one in your devotions. Study each one of these. Let it strengthen your faith. There is so much in this chapter. This chapter goes on, and we could spend so much time on the latter part of it. Through faith, these people, you could put your name in there. I could put my name in there. Subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Have you stopped any lions' mouths lately? Did you know we have some lions' mouths around? Sometimes they need to be stopped. Did you do it by retaliating? Did you come back with a quick answer and I'm going to stop their mouth now? You can't do it and be on this high and holy way. God has a grace and a power through faith that you can stop the lion's mouths in this day. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness was made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Some were tortured. Others not. Wait, I got to stop here. Listen to this. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Where does faith come in? Is that a reproach because I have rejected the deliverance? Something's wrong with me? It says, and others had trials of cruel mockings, scourgings, and moreover of bonds and imprisonment, stoned. There's a whole list here. And look here. It said, of whom the world was not worthy. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. I believe we sang a song last week about faith being easy when you're up on the mountain. You can talk about it easy when things are going real good. But it's down in the valley. It's in the hard places that it's put to the test. That's where faith is really put to the test. You and I need that kind of faith. We need it. I need it. We all need it. I am not pointing a finger at anyone more than I am myself this morning. This scripture also spoke about Abraham and the others. These all died in faith, not receiving the promise, but having seen them afar off, get your vision on your eternal goal. Get your vision on your crown. Let no man take your crown. They saw it afar off. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. I want to encourage us this morning. Embrace faith in God. Embrace it. They simply confessed they were strangers and pilgrims in this world. Well, we're compassed with wickedness, but we're also compassed with these great witnesses that it can be done. And this song came to my mind. I'm going to read part of the verse here. It's familiar to you. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way. I got a vision. I got a vision. I'm going to try to draw you a little picture. This is the way. This is the highway of holiness. And all along the way are these clouds of witnesses. They're lining the way. As you and I are going, they're already gone on. And yet, they're right there. Their life is still speaking to us, aren't they? Have you got any of your family, any of the saints that still come back to your mind that you know were faithful? Do you look at them and say, I want to live like that? I want to be faithful like that. I want to tell you, their voices are all being repeated and called out to you and me as we go this way, because they're a cloud of witnesses. And you and I are walking on this way, and all along the sides of this way, these words are being said, keep on going. It can be done. I did it. I had grace. Am I saying it was easy? No. But you can make it. That's what they're saying. And this says, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, someone had a vision and wrote this song. They got a vision of those that went before us. Let us, now this is our duty, let us run on only for the prize. But as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us. Now you know what song it is, don't you? The heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. I believe that that's what the Lord is calling for us. Dig down. Get rooted. Seek this. Be a detective of the mysteries of faith. Search it out. Spend some time on your face before the Lord. Pray. Seek God. We don't know what's before us, and we don't say that to try to be a doomsday predictor. But it's just simply true. But we stand and we say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And we let our faith be developed and strengthened. Remember what we said last week about healing. You know, the Lord wants to develop that kind of faith. And he starts out with a headache or a toe or a cut. Your little children come in and they've fallen and skinned their knees, and And you begin to build faith in a little way. And if you're grown and you're needing to build faith, the Lord does the same thing. He starts out with the little things. And He wants you to see His power working. He wants you to experience His gracious dealings and healing and whatever it is. It's not just healing. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants us to have faith in God. It's a commandment. Jesus said it over and over. I just would like to say it like I think He said it. Have faith in God! We shout it. Maybe He didn't do it just like that, but the message sounds like a message that would awaken people. Anybody asleep when I said that? Not after. Let's have faith in God. Let's not be discouraged. We sang the song Ruel called this morning, Living by Faith. Brother Dan commented on it. I don't care about what happens tomorrow. We do care. But tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Let me tell you just a little short story about myself. And I didn't remember it. It's been my siblings that has told it. When I was a little girl, I was always worried, when is tomorrow? And I would always go to Mother and I'd say, when is tomorrow? Well, tomorrow is when you get up in the morning. That's tomorrow. I got up in the morning, I went to Mother, I said, is this tomorrow? No, this is today. Well, when is tomorrow? Well, when you get up in the morning, it'll be tomorrow. And I had a hard time figuring that out as a child. But after a while, you know what tomorrow is. And you and I do not have a promise of tomorrow. But we know who holds tomorrow. And we know who holds our hand. Be encouraged. Get a hold of God for yourself. Nobody has to go and dig it up for you. You can seek God for yourself. You can be one of those redeemed. Get a vision of what the redeemed are. You say, I will be one of the redeemed if it kills me. And it may kill you. Is that a bad statement? No, I'll tell you what it is. You will have to be crucified yourself to be the redeemed of the Lord. You can't walk in your own way. You can't take your own way. You have to say, Lord, here am I. Crucify me. Crucify the flesh. That's what we have to say. Let's all pray for one another. Let's have faith in God. I copied some of these, Robert, or I guess you can't lead it. I guess you can. Somebody lead it. I want us to sing this song. I want us to think of ourselves individually and those that will come behind us. You know what? There was a time I was like these young people here. There's several of us that were once in your place. We hadn't married. We hadn't had our children. We didn't have responsibility. But I'll tell you what we did have. And what you young people have today. You've got other little brothers and sisters and younger children that are watching. They're watching you even now. But as you go on with your life and as you bring children into this world, this needs to be your song. Lord, I want my children to say, my mom, my dad was faithful. And I want to follow in that same path. Pray for me.